What is up, TPM? This is going to be a touch and go. It might be a little longer than touch and go, but it's me and another one of the TPN staff. Jason, say hello to everybody.
Hey, everybody. How you guys doing?
It's Jason Depew. For those of you who don't know him as Jason Depew, staff writer, TPN emeritus, honorarium, whatever the hell he wants to be called today. you may also know him as Emet. He is the author behind all these great articles that not only do you see for TPN, but Bogey Dope and Aviation Bull, avbull.com, and some of the other stuff that he writes out there and produces for the masses. But today is kind of specific to his book that he wrote. For those of you not familiar with Pilot Math, Treasure Bath, you're missing out on a couple of things. One, it's an entertaining read because Jason's a good writer. Two, it's a great way to look at what Jason and I were just talking about in the pre-show is how do we do this job in the long run monetarily to get where we want to be, whether that's getting out of the job early and going to start a second career, whether you're military or you're a airline-y guy, whether you want to be a part-time airline pilot in the future, or whether you want to retire with millions and millions upon millions of dollars in the bank at 65, and then you want to keep working until you're 80, the day you die, and just keep collecting every red cent that you possibly can. No matter what you want to do, the book really talks about it. So we're just going to brush on a few topics here. We're going to go through a couple, maybe the beginning section of the book, and then maybe we'll pick it up at some other time because, well, Jason's on a trip, and I am busy cleaning up for a three-year-old's birthday party.
So, oh, nice.
Yeah. So that's part of that treasure bath that I've got going on. So Jason, why don't we start off with just an introduction to the book for the people who have not heard of it. They've been living under a rock or whatever the case might be.
Sure. So in my writing for the TPN and other places, I end up writing a little bit about money and about finances. It's something we think about a lot. And when we're making decisions, it plays heavily. And I got a lot of good feedback about that. And people just, you know, ask more and more, and I research more and more. And eventually I came across, you know, a collection of ideas that kind of explain how you can really set yourself up for life and not have to worry about anything. No job pressures, no bosses, no losing your job, or how am I going to make ends meet, or what ifs. And you're just set for your whole life. And you can get to that point really relatively quickly. And I wanted to make sure everybody knew about it because I feel like there's a lot of pilots who go through their careers and they just spend everything and they live for the day and they get to 64 years old and they're dirt poor and they're worried that they're going to be living in a van down by the river a year from now. And I feel so bad for them. So I talk about, you know, what do you want to get out of life? What's important to you? What really matters? And if you didn't have to work anymore, what would you go do? And then I kind of show how here's what you'll earn as a pilot during your career. Mm-hmm. And if you invest it, if you manage your spending, invest the rest, and I show some real simple ways to invest, here's what you'll come up with. And it's only a matter of just a few years, really, before you can get to a point where your passive income from those investments covers all of your needs forever. And then anything else you do on top of that is just gravy.
So let's go back to, let's kind of unpack a couple of little things here before we go on to the actual saving of money and all that. What people, sure, you know, they really want to hear, of course, right? Well, what pilot, just all they want to hear is, where should I put my money, Emet, so I'm rich in 20 minutes? And I think they're going to be very sorrowful when they get to the end of this book and podcast and realize that it doesn't take 20 minutes. It doesn't take as long as 40 years, but it surely doesn't take, it's not a get rich quick scheme.
Right. Absolutely. It's not get rich quick in any way. And I definitely didn't want it to come across as that. And, you know, one of the reasons I didn't do it as just a bunch of posts on TPN is because you kind of have to look at the whole set of ideas as a whole. You can't just pick and choose little parts. It kind of all ties together. And I felt like a book was the best way to present everything as one coherent set of ideas.
Yeah, I totally agree. After reading the book, it's pretty easy to tell that if you try to do that in a set of different blog posts or part a series, even it would be very challenging, and it'd be very, not only you'd get lost, and it'd be very a moment too in depth for the reader to continue on that process. I think a book was the natural good right choice, and I think the way you started off there was something that I wanted to hit on. You talked about picking your goals or whatever the case is, and for guys like us, okay, we're both airline dudes. Those goals have changed quite a bit. Could you run through kind of Jason as he graduated and kind of got his wings to where he is now, and the shift of that, how that math that you talk about in the book, how that kind of flexed with you?
Yeah, like you know, when I started Air Force pilot training, graduated, and you know, I was going to be an Air Force pilot, right? I was going to be a squadron commander, a wing commander, and super proud of all that. And, you know, rah, rah, rah. And I was ready to go fight the war. And I did. I went and fought the war, deployed 8 times, and I loved every minute of it. It was awesome. The flying was amazing. It's stuff you'll never get to do again in your life. And I'm proud of it. And I'm proud of what I accomplished, and the bad people I helped put away, and the good people that I helped take care of. But, you know, along the way, I picked up a family, got kids, and realized that spending all that time fighting the war and you know, doing the good fight was taken away from them. And I realized I really like that family. I want to keep them. And I met a lot of people along the way who have lost their family to that career. And you know, and then in the airlines, you kind of see the same thing. You like flying the airline, you like going on trips and, you know, flying around the world and finding good places to eat and drink and hanging out with cool people. But again, it's really easy to get carried away with that and just chasing the money, and so many people lose their family over it, or they just get so stuck chasing the money that they're, you know, 65 years old chasing money, and what have they got to show for life?
Yeah, I think it's interesting too, you know, talking about the family piece of that, being family man myself. One of the big things that I've noticed over time was with the money side of the house. So as my daughter gets older, and as, you know, future kids talks comes in and all that kind of nonsense, what happens that that really changed my perspective was some of the memories that we want to make as a family, sometimes they're free, sometimes they're not. Yes, you can read all the Dave Ramsey stuff that you want out there, or you can look at all the wonderful blog posts online, and you talk about in the book, like the FIRE community or Mr. Money Mustache, he's awesome. And you can talk about all these extremely affordable and inexpensive ways to do stuff, but there's some stuff that you may want to do that costs money. I mean, there's just no ways about it. I practice Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I've been doing it for about 8-9 months. Really love it. It ain't cheap to be a member of a studio or a dojo. It costs It costs money. I get a really good deal, but it's still 8 to 10 times more expensive than a Planet Fitness or you know, one of those cheap global gym memberships.
Sure.
And we have other stuff like that as a family. And my daughter wants to do it. It's going to cost money to do that too, but that's something that we can do together as a father-daughter team.
Right.
And those are memories we want to make. And I think when you, as a family man, you talk about making memories like that, you want to have some of that coin on the side to go to Disney and remember that as a big thing and not go on the cheap, like, okay, we got to camp 45 miles down the road because we can't afford to stay in the hotel. But that's all kind of some of that you talk about in the book, a little bit of the sacrifice that you have to make going forward. It's not sacrifice forever. But there are some pieces of that. Can you kind of touch on how you launch into that in the book, and then how that goes forward to kind of moving the narrative along?
Yeah. So, you mentioned the FIRE community. There's this community of people online that they go for financial independence and retire early, and they try to spend as little as possible and save as much as possible for years and years and years. And if you do that for just a few years, you can get to the point where you're, again, that passive income provides everything you need, and you don't have to actively work to get that income. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people kind of get carried away with that, and they're scrimping there. You know, it's the peanut butter jelly sandwiches on the side of the road on the way to Disney, and they can go there for one day, and that's like an afford, right? And that's not what we're going for. But if you can limit your spending to a reasonable level, and what I did for the book is I went to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and they publish numbers every year on what the average American family spends. So I said, if we just decide to be the average American family, and I took the numbers, it comes out to you spend $57,000 a year, which is a lot more than you make as a young lieutenant or regional pilot or warrant officer. But it's pretty low for us, a more senior officer or a major airline pilot. If you can just limit your spending to that for a few years, before you know it, you've got more than enough money to cover everything you need. And then from there, you just keep making money. And it doesn't have to be exactly that, $57,758 a year.
Yeah.
You spend a little more, a little less, that's okay. You just realize what that does to your timeline and make your choices based on what's best for your family. My wife and I, we bought an airplane. We've got an old Cessna 170, and we bought that 10 years ago. And that, was not the greatest financial move probably for, saving for, retirement or financial independence, but we've loved it. We've enjoyed it a lot.
Yeah.
And it's okay to do those things. You just got to do it intentionally and know how that feeds into your whole overall plan.
Yep. I could not agree more. In fact, we talked about this, I don't know, it was a little while ago. We redid our basement. And yeah. We did our basement, and we kind of always talked about my wife and I, since we first met, kind of goals, dreams, stuff like that. When we'd move into a house together, and after our first house that we owned together, which was small and didn't have much in the way of amenities, we moved to a little bit bigger of a place. We talked about it early that we wanted to. We wanted to do the basement sooner than later because we wanted a place to come and make memories, not only as family, but friend group and all that kind of nonsense. Yeah. And lo and behold, when we looked at it, our finances were like, we can do this right now. We don't have to wait any longer.
Yeah.
And it was really nice. Like we have to cut corners on speed. Cause what you can do three things in contracting or remodeling. It's, you can have it done fast. You can have it done, well, or you can have it done cheap.
Yeah.
Two of the three, and that's what you get. And
right.
We picked inexpensive, relatively speaking, and well done, and that it turned out that way. So, but it took forever, which is fine.
Sure.
Now, with that said, I think the other thing that I wanted to add to that was when you're talking about this sacrifice and making these sacrifices, I think one of the things, and you talk about in the book a little bit, but I wanted to shift. This is we're bouncing around here a bit here.
Oh, that's great.
This is specific to retirement. So one of the big things that I notice in retirement, and I've read a bunch of other people's theories on this, and it's really applicable to airline pilots, major pilots in particular, who get a large chunk of their salary put away as a retirement stipend, if you will, 401k that the company puts into your, I think it's actually a 415C plan, I think is the actual title of what's the additional to your 401k. It's what
right.
their portion of it. So it's kind of like what it makes up for what the pension used to be. It's not as much money, but it can grow to far more.
And it's safer.
And it's safer. And it's safer in well, that's opinion, and I'm not gonna start that argument because right now at certain airlines that is a huge discussion, a
contentious topic,
very contentious. So we'll leave that one lie. However, with that being said, one of the things that we've noticed in our own household and talking to other folks, a very good friend of mine at my guard unit, is there was no reason for us to save more in our retirement than what we were putting away in certain areas because of how much we already had in our nest egg.
Sure.
Because you hit these, and I think there'll be some folks who hear this that don't understand required minimum distributions and all this other stuff that happens when you get older. And also that you can pay not only taxes, but penalties on your money that's in a retirement vehicle. So that money is essentially either tied up or it's forced to be taken out.
Sure.
And I read this great post by this dude, and he said, max out your 401k, let the company fill on the rest. And he goes, after that's done, he goes, take a look at what Warren Buffett does. And he goes, so what? You pay taxes up front. Mm-hmm. But if you invest a ton of money into a nice index fund, and in 15, 20 years, that ton of money became even way more a ton of money. You're only going to pay 15% on it in perpetuity for life.
Right.
It's capital gains. There's no income tax. It's just a capital gains tax on what you on what you draw out. And I started to think about that. And then this is what the key piece. I was like, okay, that's cool. But, you know, I'm still paying a little bit more than I'd like to. Then he hit it right on the head. And he goes, and you're free to do with it whatever you want, whenever you want to.
That's right.
And that changed my whole calculus on a lot of what we're doing as a family for retirement. So do we try to do some Roth stuff? Yes. But some of the stuff might sound like confusing to people who have not delved into this yet. If they haven't, they need to, number one. And yep. Your book, Pilot Math Treasure Bass, it gives you a broad stroke. So people can go further.
Right.
Number two is once you do learn about this stuff, you'll realize that you're not going to be able to invest in all of these things, that you have to pick a couple of different vectors, get yourself established, and then pick one later on in your life and pick one later on and keep adding to the portfolio, as it were. So in that mindset, let's talk specifically retirement and how you kind of look at that in the book. So, because there's the military guy who's thinking 20 years, retirement, you know, so kind of go over how you describe that in the book a little bit.
Like retirement itself or saving for it?
Both. Let's talk about saving for it and then however you want to do it, whichever side you
want. So if you're a military guy or gal, you can go for 20 years and retire, right? And a regular military retirement is pretty good. It's going to be 40 in under the new blended retirement system. It's going to be 40% of your base pay plus whatever you put away in your TSP. I did the math in the book and I came up with a number of your retirement pay will be about $41,700, mm-hmm. which is awesome, right? And a lot of people could live happily on that. If you also, you know, limit yourself to the same spending numbers we talked about and put away the rest, you can have enough passive income to make your total retirement income $91,000 a year, which is awesome. If you can't live a great life on that, you're doing it wrong. Mm-hmm. So, you know, retiring from the military works well. Now, if you decide to go to the airlines instead, you dump money into that TSP and your Roth IRA when you're on active duty, and then it just sits there forever. You just leave it and that's fine. Mm-hmm. And when you separate and go to the airlines, you start dumping money into your 401k and even not accounting for the money from the military, you reach the point of financial independence where your passive income exceeds your needs within 10 years, really. Mm-hmm. And you can make it quicker if you want to. And then the TSP money only makes that better. And even if you're a regional airline pilot, start doing what you can in the regionals. And by the time you get to the majors, you'll have a head start. And again, you know, it was 10 years without being a regional pilot. So if you even save a little bit as a regional pilot, less than 10 years after you get to the majors, you can be set for life.
Yeah. Preach on, because I couldn't agree with you more. You know, like, I think smartest thing I ever did was day one when I got on active duty is I started putting 10% in my TSP. I didn't even really know what it was. It just was like,
well, right. Yeah. It doesn't matter if you know what it is or not. Put money, whether it's your 401k or your TSP, start putting money in now. Just go do it. Just set it and go.
And for you real junior mints out there, like whether it's high school kids or mentors to folks who are in high school, want to be in aviation and you're not that equipped to talk about financial stuff, they'll still listen to you. One of the best things that I have ever heard is in fact, I just had my mom likes to put a little bit of money away for the grandkids.
Sure.
So I actually introduced her to the company and I'm in no way affiliated with this company. TPN doesn't get any money or any advertising work with them, but Wealthfront is something that I invest in. It's a algorithmic investing, essentially brokerage house.
Yeah. Robo advisor. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a robo advisor. Yeah. Another term for it. There's a Betterment and Wealthfront are two biggies. I think there's a one or two more that are just coming online now. Well, Wealthfront was the one that I liked. And one of the cool things about them is instead of, I told my mom and said, instead of sticking it in the savings account, which is akin to shoving it in our mattress,
right?
Which is, by the way, as long as people are saving money, that's all that really matters, but
better than nothing, but
just barely. So I said, well, just take that money and put it in this algorithmic investing robo-advisor or an index fund.
Yes.
And that $250 to $500 a year, whatever it turns out to be, will end up being worth far, 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 far more when she's able to touch it. And right. we can actually start turning that once it into a trust. And this is all other stuff that people can get into, where then you can have your, you have disbursements that are sent out to your children or grandchildren or whatever at times. Now, could you imagine if a kid was 14 years old and started that?
Right.
Their own money, paper out money, or whatever kids do these days to make, they probably buy stuff on Craigslist and sell it on Facebook Marketplace.
Right. Or they're a YouTuber, right?
That's what And they're making more money than you and I are combined as airline right. pilots, you know, so they probably have financial advisors already. So if that's the case, hopefully their financial advisors are basically telling them this kind of stuff. So back to brass tacks here. If you're laying out a game plan for second lieutenant, ensign, warrant officer one, airman basic so-and-so, or regional pilot Jimbo, who just graduated Riddle, if you're laying out a little game plan for them, what's your game plan telling all these wonderful folks on how they can crush it? And they don't have to be, when they hit our age, when they hit 41, they don't have to go, well, if I'm not a captain at X airline by that time, I'm in deep trouble. Right.
Yeah. So, you know, the first thing is try not to spend every dollar you make. Try to save some of your money, right? And honestly, as a second lieutenant or a young warrant officer or a young regional pilot, spend your time working and focusing on that a little bit and really try to cut back your expenses. You just finished college, probably finished flight school. You were living very cheaply then. Don't inflate your lifestyle. Don't go buy a $60,000 F-150 or, you know, brand new Ford Mustang or something, brand new Tesla. Be frugal, live frugally, save the extra money.
I want to jump in one second because we always hear that don't do this, don't do that. Can you give them a positive step on something they can do to help that? Because we always hear don't buy this, don't buy that. What's a positive step that these folks can take to put themselves in the right trajectory instead
of? So take advantage of the time, the opportunity you have right now. You're starting out your career as a professional pilot. Enjoy that. Embrace and take the opportunities to go fly. And so you finished college, maybe you do have the opportunity to go buy a car that you'll like and that will serve you well. Think about one that's going to serve you for the next, you know, 10 or 15 or 20 years. It's going to last that long. And take the time to find a really great deal that is going to be a great car for you for a long time. And then think of, you can start thinking about your future and how much you can save. So, you know, any dollar you're not spending, put it into savings for now. And if your company matches your 401k, a lot of regional airlines, they have a match. And now the new TSP, the new blended retirement, the military matches your TSP contributions up to a point. So at the very least, put enough into your 401k or your TSP to get that full match. Otherwise, you're just throwing money out the window, right?
Yeah.
And then from there, dial it up as much as you can and make it a challenge for yourself. See how much money you can pack into those investments early on. And then as time goes on, challenge yourself to find ways to really enjoy life, enjoy spending time with your friends and your family and get a lot out of life without having to spend a whole lot of money. I promise you can do it. There's tons of great things to do out there that aren't outrageously expensive.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do want to spend some money, that's fine, but you know, be deliberate about it. And again, realize every time you do it, how that plays into your overall financial plan.
Dads with young kids, moms with young kids. I mean, the moms tend to know this stuff better than the dads do. Yeah. Just that's pure, that's fact. That's science. But dads who with young kids, you don't need to spend a red cent to show them a good time. I mean,
my kids on any given day, if I take them to a playground, yep. and they're 8 and 10, they're old, but yeah. if I take them to a playground, it's the best day ever. They're super happy.
Yep. Yeah, it's so true. And don't forget, like once you're in a position where you're more stable and financially ready, go out. Yeah, you can, you know, you want to take them to a movie or you want to take them and do something more extravagant. That's fine. You know, do that stuff. But one of the things that I do, like I also belong to a gym where we have, I tend to, sometimes I'll bring my daughter with me. And it exposes her to that, and she gets to play on the rigs, on the rings and stuff like that, and play around at the end. But the fun part for her too is she gets to see, she'll like warm up with us, and then she kind of goes and does her own thing for a little bit.
Yeah,
I pay my membership fee, but I'm also there with her. There's, we're not spending time just sitting one-on-one, but there's some of that that she gets to see dad doing that kind of stuff, which is healthy for her or whatever the case is. And by the way, it's essentially, it's free, or you're double dipping, if you will. So when you look at it in a financial aspect, I couldn't agree more with the playground example. Like when I take my daughter to the playground, it could be negative 20 degrees up here and she wants to go outside to the playground. If there's snow on the ground, that's like, it's
even better. Yeah.
Even better. Then she gets to play in the snow and she gets to play on the playground. Oh my gosh. Santa came early this year, or whatever the case is. So I think, yeah, totally agree. All right. So you, that's kind of the very, very early onset for brand new, just got in. Okay. Now they've moved down the road a little bit. Maybe they've, in the, well, the regional captain is upgraded about a year after they became a regional.
Right. Couple years, yeah.
So let's move down the road. Maybe now they're in their mid to late 20s, back where you think you know what you're doing, but you don't know what you're doing. Jason and I can attest to that time and time again. So what about that genre of group? Maybe the new aircraft commander, the regional captains, who's just starting to, oh, looks like I might get a bite at the majors or whatever the case is. Where are they at in the treasure bath journey?
Sure. I mean, at that point, you know, you're making a lot more money. It'll feel like a lot more money than you've ever made. And it, you know, even a regional airline captain makes a decent pay, and a major airline FO makes great pay too. It'll be tempting, especially since all of your peers are going to be going out and buying these fancy toys for themselves, you know, boats and cars and the captain's house, as it were. So again, you know, think of ways that you and your family can enjoy your life and take advantage of the opportunities you have without having to keep up with the Joneses and match everybody. You know, spend your time doing things that you value as a family, and then continue to just challenge yourself to find ways to put your money to better use. And you know, along the way, a lot of people will, you know, maybe they already had a family. I know a lot of people, you know, kind of found someone who got married in their 20s, and you really want to have these kind of conversations with that future spouse before you even seal the deal.
Oh yeah.
And make sure you're on the same page, right? There's nothing worse than when one person is thrifty and one person spends everything. You're never going to get ahead, and it's going to cause marital strife. You don't want that.
Yeah. Could not agree more on that too. With that, so kind of going down that road too of when you talk, so in the book, you get into, you don't get into heavy specifics on what people should invest in, because you say, yeah, that's not my bailiwick to tell you to do this, do that, do this, do that. It's more of, here's your options. Do you want to go over some of that basic stuff now in, not just retirement, but we can go over like just in general, what are some decent options for these younger folks who we just kind of mentioned it, kind of look.
Yeah, definitely. So there's a bunch of good options. Honestly, I think the best and easiest option, the place you should start until you figure something else out, is a low fee index fund. Basically what you're doing is you're buying the entire stock market. You're buying one share of every stock in the whole market, one share of every company in the country. And you'll go up or down with the market, but the long term, the, you know, 80, 90 year history of the stock market has been an 11% annual return. If you can get 11%, that's amazing. You should be super happy with that, right? So
even if it's half that, you're still beating everything else that's out there.
Even if it's half that, you're great, right? Yeah. So I say start with that. And so you can go to any brokerage, Vanguard, Fidelity, Charles Schwab, any of those kind of things, and just find their total stock market index fund or their S&P 500 index fund, and just put your money in that for now. And it's going to go up and down. Like the last few months, it's gone down with coronavirus and things, right? That's okay. It's down a little bit, and it's going to go back up eventually. It always goes up and to the right. What you want to watch out for in those things is the fees. So a lot of investments charge you money to buy these shares of this mutual fund, right? And the trick is the really good ones, the the total stock market index fund at Vanguard, the fee is 0.05%. That's nothing, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost zero. Whereas if you get a financial advisor, they'll charge you 1% of assets under management. So they're charging you 20 times as much for your investments.
Yep.
And they're probably doing a worse job at picking individual stocks than just buying the whole market with this index fund.
Yep.
So that's what I advocate for at the very first. That is the most basic thing. And if that's all you did, honestly, I think you'd be just fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now you can go a lot beyond that, right? If you want to, you can go pick individual stocks. And I'll admit, I have a brokerage account within my 401k. So in the 401k, I mostly just buy that index fund. I've got Fidelity's S&P 500 index fund. And the fees are 0.02%. It's nothing. But then I set aside a little tiny portion of it where I buy some stuff. And I've bought some really good stuff. Like I bought Virgin Galactic and it's doubled. I bought Beyond Meat and it's doubled. Because that's super awesome, right? Mm-hmm. And I bought Lyft and Uber at their IPOs and they're both down by 50%.
Yeah.
So just goes to show you that we suck at picking stocks. But if you want to, if you think you're good at that, you can and set aside some of your money and do that.
Yeah, it's play money. Have fun with it too. It is. Investing is way more interesting if it's fun.
Right. And for me, I keep myself safe by limiting that. So I tell myself, originally I was just a couple thousand dollars. And as that grew, I said no more than 5% of my 401k is going to be in this brokerage account where I can pick individual stocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, it's fun. And oh, here's this hot lead. I'll go invest in this. And that's it. And it keeps it interesting and it lets me play a little bit without risking my whole fortune on that kind of stuff. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I wanted to jump in and say, so those are two options of just, and we're just talking about that's overall investment strategy. We're not even getting into tax advantage or tax deferred.
Yeah.
And there's a lot more in the book. Like if you don't have the book, buy it and Jason will come and sign it for you. And then also you're going to be able to read a lot about these basic stuff and the amount of resources that Jason not only puts in the book, but also online at what's the website again, Jason?
It's the same as the book. So pilotmathtreasurebath.com. Yeah.
Pilotmathtreasurebath.com. That easy. There's a ton of resources that are there for you because I don't want to go into every single one. It would take us, yeah. We don't have time for that. Number one. And two, we don't actually know every single resource that's out
there. Right. There's tons out there.
There's tons of stuff. And there's things that'll start going into educational benefits for your children. For those of you in the military, guard, reserve, who want to transfer your education benefits to a child, that is huge. I don't think people understand the gravity that can have for the future of a child. And by the way, a lot of these benefits don't need to be just used for collegiate purposes. So if you have a child who is not going to college because they're going to become an electrician's apprentice, which by the way is probably more valuable than any college degree you're going to get. Opinion only, by the way, bless Mike Rowe and all he's doing with microworks, .org. Caveat, I'm going to, email him, shortly after this and I'm going to beg him to come on the podcast because he's my hero. So that's the only reason he's just my hero. And a lot of pilots are going to be out of jobs with coronavirus, so we might as well go become.
There you go. We're all doomed.
Hey, there's scholarships out there for it. But what I'm trying to get at is Jason in the book Pilot Math Treasure Bath is such a great introductory tool to getting somebody to a point where they're maybe not financially literate, but they know how to open up the book and start reading. It's metaphorically speaking, but when they go and they read these more in-depth pieces of investment propaganda or information, depending on how you look at it, they're not overwhelmed or they're not suckered into the great deal, you know.
Right. Yeah.
They're not trying to make option calls on something as their first investment because that will not go well at all. Yeah. and I think that leads into since we're talking about kind of the book and why it's this big amalgamation of introductory pieces to pilots, how did you come up with the name?
Oh yeah. So, we talk about pilot math all the time. It's just, pilot math is the 3-to-1 rule, the 60-to-1 rule that you use all the time. So, I've always had that phrase in my mind. And then for Treasure Bath, When I was at Laughlin, we had a new DO show up, and he had flown for Air Force Spec Ops like me, a different part, but we kind of had this kindred spirit thing going on because we were both from that. And we were talking, oh, I've deployed here. Oh, yeah, I've deployed there, here and there, here and there. And he's telling me about the time he deployed with the C-145 Skytruck. And he got to stay in this embassy safe house in this really nice town and just kind of fly day trips out of there. And I was like, oh, yeah, and you made great per diem. And he's like, yeah, man, it was like $170 a day per diem. And he goes, treasure bath. It's actually a skit. I think it's like from like an old SNL or something, but it's this skit. And you know that just stuck with me forever. Is like the idea of a treasure bath is something that pilots kind of seek after.
Yeah. Oh, heard a lot, and I've heard a lot of different ones that are out there. A friend of mine who used to fly I believe it was the C-20. It's the Beech 1900 equivalent that is no longer in the Air Force inventory. I'm not sure. I don't think it is, but I could be wrong. I'm sure hopefully somebody will correct me and be like, yeah, it is.
C-12. Right.
Yeah. There's C-12s, but these are like the old Beech 1900s.
Yeah.
So the fun, he was, they were up in, Osan, and they used to deploy down to Manila, and Manila was, you know, full per diem, stay in a 5-star hotel. Well, you'd walk out of the lobby, and instead of paying $12 or $10 for a beer in the lobby, you'd walk next door to the bar, and it was like a quarter.
Right.
You'd have the best Filipino food on the planet, like within a block from where they were. And you'd be in Manila, and they were either in Manila or Osan. So they were getting cost of living and all this other stuff. And that was back in the day when that was tax-free too. Like that, nice. You'd go and you'd get, so your salary was tax-free. You were getting per diem, which was tax-free. Your BAH, cost of living. I mean, these guys were making as much as an airline captain or more than an airline captain was.
Sure.
These guys are young junior captains in the Air Force.
Making that kind
so
of
yeah, talk about a treasure bath. And he saved a few of his pennies, and I mean, he's doing quite fine. Nice. He knows, if he listens to this, he'll know who he is. And I visited his apartment in Manhattan, so his second
place. Oh, there you go.
So yeah, so those guys aren't doing all that poorly. who saved a little bit. Because they applied the principles that you talk about in this book. They just didn't know necessarily that they were doing that at the time either.
Right. Yeah.
And again, I want to reiterate to the folks out there, this doesn't mean you have to live like a hermit. It doesn't mean you have to give up. In fact, if I would have just changed a little bit when I was younger, just a little bit, but I was still saving. I was still putting money in the TSP, but I was an idiot who used credit cards and all this other stuff, but I was still putting money in my TSP. But had I changed my spending about 3 to 5%, that's it. That's all. 3 to 5% of my total spending, which would essentially mean I would have had to eat at home like 3 more times a month. Uh-huh. That's about it.
Right.
Had I done that, I would have probably been, I would say, I'm just guesstimate ballpark, I would have probably close to 10% more saved in retirement, maybe more than that now, which would put me in a far, would put me in a different, far different category than I've gotten to, which I'm very proud of and happy of. But it would be so good that we could probably start talking about like, well, do I want to continue to fly this, that, or do I want to go to something where I'm like, just doing day trips. I could go to corporate job and just fly locals, you know, like that kind of stuff. And that's where I think you nailed it right in the beginning. You were talking about goals. Like I have a goal that I don't want to be away from home unless I choose to be away from home.
Right.
And that's something that not living in base is, it's kind of tough to do that, but maybe someday I don't have to be at my airline anymore because I've saved enough money and I can choose whatever it is I choose to do. And right. I think that's what a lot of people are missing out when they hear that, the whole story.
Yeah. I think I'll probably be flying to the airline when I'm 64 years old.
Sure.
But it's not going to be 4 trips a month for 16 days of work. It's going to be a maximum of 1 trip a month. And I'll pick some awesome destination that I want to go to and have a great long layover. And I'll fly that trip and I'll be done. And I'll do that for the month, you know?
Yeah. And that's what we're talking about. See, there's two different, totally different opinions, ideas. However, both of us are setting ourselves up to be in that position.
We're going to have the option.
Yes. And I remember, so stupid topic or conversation piece, but I was in Bulgaria in a hotel room and I was sick. I had caught a really nasty cold. Ooh. And we were TDY. So it really sucked. Like all my friends from my reserve unit were there. We were having a great time. Well, unfortunately I had like a 4-day spell where I couldn't really leave the hotel room. Oh. Yeah, it was brutal. But I was watching this National Geographic and there's these commercial that would just keep coming on over and over and over again. And no, mind you, this, folks, this is before Netflix. Netflix was delivering movies at the time. You couldn't stream this stuff. And this one guy was taking care and caring for cheetahs, these cheetah cubs. And I guess it'd be cubs, right? Like, yeah, not cheetah kittens. That's pups. Yeah, pups. Like, that's dog, whatever. So these cheetah cubs, and they were trying to that their mother was killed and they were trying to take care of them. And then after they were of age, they wanted to release them back in the wild, but they were struggling with the idea of raising these cubs in an environment where there was going to be, it was a safe haven.
Right.
And what he said, and this is what applies to all this, was he goes, if they don't have the option to go, now these are, you're talking about cheetahs, right? But
right,
they don't have the option to have their freedom, then they have no freedom at all. I can give them the greatest living circumstance, and this is paraphrased, but the greatest living circumstances here in the enclosure and in the zoo or in the care facility, but they still don't have freedom, and because they don't have any option. They have to stay here. Otherwise, they won't live. They can't live. They'll die.
Get out of the best airline in the world that pays you $750,000 a year, you know, and 10 weeks of vacation. But if you spend all that money every year,
yeah,
you have no choice but to keep working there.
Yeah, you're beholden to the airline. Yeah. And that's why he was talking about these cheetahs being beholden to me, because it's the only way they'll live. So I have to get them to the point where they have the option. And when they have the option, whether they choose, well, if they want to stay here, you know, like, I mean, he was kind of saying that, but if you choose to stay, that's your option. That's your freedom.
Right.
You choose to leave. That's your option. That's your freedom. And I think that's where you see, like you talked about, a lot of these dudes that we know, there ain't no option, man. They are there, and they're there for until the end. And then they're looking for something else after it's over, because there's nothing, there's no way they can go without having the stress of life bear down on them and end it prematurely in a lot of cases.
Right.
Because it's so difficult to live with. Well, I think, so that's kind of the introduction pieces of the book. What else do you want to discuss in book wise that you want to kind of get across? Like a main point or two that we can leave the listener with before we give him the force feed of go buy Jason's book or no, quit that, TPN.
That's no. What it's really about is options. We talk about, you know, what matters in life. What are your goals in life? Mm-hmm. You know, you and I have talked about different side hustles we have. I talk about side hustles a bit in the book. And you know, it's important to have something else in life. I went to school at the Air Force Academy, right? And life at the Air Force Academy is terrible. It is an awful place. Mm-hmm. You go to school all day long. It's a super confined environment. You have to live with everybody. There's inspections and military BS that nobody likes. And the people who never got away and did anything else were really unhappy. And the people that are happy there are other people, you know, they were on the soccer team or the rugby team, or I would go and fly gliders, and I got to go flying at the airfield at least 3 days a week, every week. And that's like the release, right? So I think it's the same thing for pilots. You need something else in life. It mm-hmm. you know, at least a hobby, whether it's, you know, you said Brazilian jiu-jitsu, right? Or I write, I fly for Icon Aircraft. And just go do something that you enjoy. And the better you are financially, the more you can afford to go do what, you know, whatever it is you want. But then the funny thing about pilots is we're usually resourceful enough to find a way to make money doing mm-hmm. whatever. Right. Yep. So I love flying this Icon, this little airplane, and I would pay money to fly it, but they pay me instead. So it's even better. Right. And one thing that makes your side hustle or your hobby it makes it lucrative and it makes it something that, that helps out your family. The other thing is, you know, if things go bad, you've got a backup.
Mm-hmm.
And
amen, you know, to that.
Right now we've got, you know, the people at TSA, and I just wrote a couple articles trying to help those guys out, because it sucks because TSA just said, oh, screw it, we're done. Sorry. Sucks to be you. Right. And then you get coronavirus right now, and, you know, United Airlines is like, oh, sorry, we're canceling class. See you guys. I mean, that's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And stuff like this is going to continue to happen. This is not the last we've seen of either of those kinds of scenarios. And so, you know, having a side hustle is not a bad thing. And if you get let go from somewhere, or if something doesn't work out, you've got options. And the other part is, you know, having that treasure bath gives you options too. And maybe you aren't at the point where your treasure bath is so deep and bubbly that it'll cover all of your needs. But what if you're going to lose your job and you've got to pay for things for a few months? If you have nothing, if you have no savings, mm-hmm. you're panicked. You're in emergency mode.
Yeah.
And you have no options, right? But if you've got this treasure bath, you can live off that money if you have to, and you'll fill it back up later. But it can really decrease the stress of life.
Amen. Yeah. That's exactly the summation of the book. I mean, and having read it, I think, I mean, that kind of encapsulates. And I think once you read the book, you're going to see that gives you kind of a better roadmap of how you can get to where you want to be, and gives you the options to go look at all these resources. Now, Jason, if they're not like me and they don't already own the book, what's their best way to go out and pick one up?
Just go to Amazon and search for Pilot Math Treasure Bath. It'll come up.
Okay.
And, if you want, I'll send you for the show notes. There's affiliate links for TPN. So if you use that link to buy the book, it supports the Pilot Network. Amazon gives you a little kickback.
Yeah. I was about to add just to add in there. We do have an affiliation with Amazon, and we unfortunately don't have any products that we have on Amazon yet. But we do have affiliate links, and all you have to do is go to thepilotnetwork.org/shop, I think. If not, you go to thepilotnetwork.org, and you can go to the little shopping site, and you pick something, anything that's Amazon. And once you're there, the next 24 hours, anything you purchase, Amazon takes a penny or two and shoots it over to the Pilot Network. Now, could you imagine if all 30,000 members of the Pilot Network did that every day with any Amazon purchases? We could drop all sponsorship. TPNX would be paid for. Hotels would be paid for.
It'd be amazing.
Nobody would be going without. We could give a lot back. And we are trying to give even more back. We've got some interesting stuff coming up that Matt and I have really been talking about, guys and gals out there. We may have some bigger fish on the hook because we realize that you are an exceptionally niche group of human beings that a lot of people want access to. So we want to help you help yourselves get to where you want to be following the Pilot Math Treasure Bath ideas that Jason's put in there. You can also go to his website, pilotmathtreasurebath.com. Check out more of the resources that are there. Jason, any last words to say to the wonderful network?
Yeah, you know, it's not a get rich quick scheme. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. But if you apply the principles in your life, it will make your life better. It will give you more peace in your life, more security, and I promise you won't regret it. So it's at least worth checking out.
Yep, I could not agree more. So check that out. And if you have questions about the book, you have questions directly for Jason on any of his writings, or questions for Matt or I on anything TPN or otherworldly related, hit us up at heyguys@thepilotnetwork.org. You can reach us through our Facebook page, The Pilot Network. You can try Instagram, but I don't use it that much, and I got a feeling that there's quite a few in our demographic who don't tend to use Instagram. So, but you can still try. We might just pick up, and for all of you folks out there who do use Instagram, coach me up on it. Maybe I'll get better at it.
Anyways, somebody teach Adam how to use Instagram.
Yeah, please. Somebody teach me. Yeah, I know. It's actually not that hard. I figured out the video stuff. That's about it. But most importantly, keep that shiny side up in the air and the greasy side down. We'll talk to you again soon. Fly safe, everybody.